7 years ago, Jeffrey Blanchard ran into trouble at home.
My mom's a Baptist minister, and she walked in on me having sex with my boyfriend.
Jeffrey was 16 then, and he'd never lived outside of Cape Cod, Massachusetts.
She packed my stuff for me. She said, you have 15 minutes to grab anything that's important to you in this house.
Now I'm talking with him at a drop-in center for homeless youth in New York City. It's in a Catholic church in the West Village. People are crowded around fold-up tables, eating and catching up. They take turns picking used clothing off a couple coat racks in the corner. He still has a boyish face, olive skin with a few scars.
She threw a Bible at the back of my head as I was leaving, as I was walking out the door with my stuff to the car. She said, you're going to go to hell, faggot.
His mother drove Jeffrey to the bus station and got him a one-way ticket to Boston. When he called aunts and uncles, they just hung up. Until that day, it was a pretty normal family dynamic. Picnics, ride-sharing, Thanksgiving gatherings. Jeffrey doesn't know what his mother told them.
And my mom, what she did, when she put a missing persons report out for me.
In 2014, the National Runaway Safe Line got 96,000 calls, and 30% were from New York, more than any other state. Many of these runaways don't actually run away. Social workers say more and more kids are showing up in New York City who, like Jeffrey, were kicked out because they're gay.
You know, young people leave home as a means of self-protection.
Jim Bolas is the executive director for the Coalition for Homeless Youth.
Self-survival, whether it's abuse, physical or emotional or sexual.
Many so-called runaways end up on the streets, where they still face violence and discrimination. After aging out of a youth shelter at 18, Jeffrey checked in to a men's shelter in Boston.
You'd sleep in a room with like 350 men. A lot of them were level 3 sex offenders, people who just got out of prison for 20 years plus.
The adults preyed on him.
I woke up one night, some guy telling me he was going to rape me, to staring right in my face, his nose was practically touching me, telling me he was going to make me his bitch.
He had made a couple friends, including a trans woman named Shelby.
And I just yelled for them. I was like, Shelby! You know. And she came over and threw him across the room.
Like many gay kids from conservative homes, Jeffrey eventually made his way to New York.
Well, we definitely see some youth who run away from families or even communities where it's not safe to be LGBT. And we see that especially with youth coming from the Midwest, the South, the red states.
Kate Barnhart runs New Alternatives, the LGBT drop-in center where I met Jeffrey.
New York City's LGBT community is legendary, and I also, you know, they see the Gay Pride March on TV and stuff. And what they don't realize is that this is a very hard place to live.
Gay kids flock to two cities in particular.
So the people who are more towards the west of the country go to San Francisco, and the people who are more towards the east come to New York.
Just like a line at the Mason-Dixon, or what is it?
Right down the middle. I mean,
Tayama Tilbert was born in Harlem, but her grandma raised her in Mobile, Alabama.
Grandmother took care of me from a newborn until 11 in Mobile, Alabama.
Tayama goes by a different name.
AKA Skittles.
When her grandmother died, 11-year-old Skittles was shipped back to New York and went into a group home upstate. When it shut down 6 years later, Skittles moved back to Harlem to be with her mother. Skittles didn't stay long, though.
My brother had asked me, was I gay? And I told him yes, because that's the only person I feel I can be honest with. And my stepfather overheard me saying that to my brother. So he told my mother that there is no lesbians living in his house.
At 17, Skittles was almost an adult. But she'd been in foster care since age 11, with people telling her where to go, when to eat, and when to play. Suddenly, she had nothing.
I slept in a car for like a couple of months, slept on the street, panhandle, begged for change.
10 years later, she's still struggling. She has a job, some days working 16-hour shifts, but she's still staying in a shelter. Kate Barnhart says that our culture glorifies coming out, and that can lead to kids from conservative homes getting kicked out very young. She's not the only one who sees this.
I thought it only happened to me, but I found out it happens to a lot of other people I've met, like younger. They've been kicked out younger, like 14, 13. It's crazy.
Jeffrey is working on getting permanent housing, and after 7 years, he's starting to talk to his family again.
I talk with her just so she doesn't file missing persons report on me, honestly.
In New York, I'm Emrys Eller.